Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims, the home of Yankees radio, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Welcome back in. It is now Saturday morning. Right? Yeah, I just had to check that out. I'm Danielle McCartan, at Coach McCartan, across your favorite social media platform. Thank you for making me and us part of your holiday weekend. Happy Labor Day. And I'm expecting a happy night tonight on the phones at 888-808-1019. You're not going to call up and be that negative Nancy when the Mets won by a touchdown and a field goal, 19-9, and the Yankees have their... Of course, they beat the White Sox 10-2, and they had the first win streak of six games this season, which is wild. And Toronto, Boston, and Seattle all lost. So this is going to be a happy night tonight, no? So let's start with the Mets, because guy makes his major league debut, even though we're coming off a Yankee game. We got to talk the Mets. I mean, look, for start number one, after blazing up the minor leagues with a minor league leading 40.5% strikeout rate, first in ERA across the minor leagues, first in strikeouts per nine across the minor leagues, first in batting average against. I mean, Jonah Tong's first start at the major league level in front of a Friday night packed home crowd at Citi Field was pretty good. I mean, look, the pregame side-by-side on SNY between Tong and Lincecum, uncanny. I was just scrolling. I just was talking with Marco about this. I saw MLB posted a side-by-side photo of the follow-throughs of both Lincecum and Tong. They are almost exactly the same. The wind-up, the delivery, the follow-through, same. But let's not put the cart before the horse here. So before we get way too far ahead of ourselves, before we do that with some ridiculous comparisons, let's take it for what it is. A good first start. There were four relatively quiet, stress-free innings, if you will. Six hits, but so what? Because Tong allowed only one earned run on the night. The fifth inning got a little turbulent. And also, I must say that, you know, the Mets had some long offensive innings, and that's a lot for a guy to make his first start and then come off the bench after sitting for quite some time, more than normal each and every inning, really, because the Mets were really putting up some runs, some run support. And so when you look at that, he's got four relatively quiet, stress-free innings. The fifth, you know, little John Weegak turbulence, bop, bop, bop. I got to tell you, my favorite thing about Tong's outing also happened in that fifth inning. Because even though he faced adversity in that fifth inning, Mendoza didn't yank him. That's the first thing. Mendoza let him work through it. And Tong persevered. His last hitter, which he actually got ahead, then fell behind 3-2. Tong came back with a four-seam fastball at 95 miles an hour to strike him out. And then Tong was out. And that gutsiness to bounce back with that backwards K after an adverse couple of events in that fifth inning, I like to see that. And especially against that batter, Hicks. I mean, he's hitting 270 over his last seven games. So that wasn't like an easy hitter. It wasn't an easy out by any means. So I liked that he was able to bounce back, reclaim, you know, a hold on the inning, and leave on a high note there. I like that. I like that grittiness. So a good first start by Jonah Tong. I can't wait to see what he does next time out. Really. But at the same time, I am going to continue to lament the fact that this pitching rotation could have been addressed months ago, prior to the trade deadline. And the essential question that I have always on my mind is, where would the Mets be now had the general manager made this decision even a month ago. I mean, there are only 27 games left on the schedule for the Mets. And now he's starting to fumble with the start, you know, or fiddle, I guess is a better word, because the two he brought up have been great. So he's starting to fiddle now with the starting pitching rotation with less than a month to go in the season. I mean, this to me still has this too little, too late mantra or feeling or vibe to me. And of course, there is this jolt of energy that goes through the clubhouse on nights like tonight. A palpable excitement in the ballpark, the whole nine, the whole thing. The defense looked even better. Like everyone, you know, especially in the early goings, everyone was on their P's and Q's just to try to, you know, settle them in. I mean, there was Taylor trucking it on a fast falling line drive-ish to center field. He made the catch in that first inning. You had Brandon Nimmo doing the same thing on the very next batter in left field. Two quick outs. Everybody ready to jump for Jonah Tong. I mean, that's what you want to see. And really, just, I guess now since it's after midnight, 14 days ago, Nolan McLean made his first start for the Mets. And since then, they're 9-4. There's a different energy around this team with these two young pitchers up at this level. And really, in my heart of hearts, I think David Stearns messed up this team's chances of making a deep run by not bringing these pitchers up sooner. You know what? You know that. Because if you're a fan of the show, you know I was advocating for them to be brought up even before the trade deadline. And there's two components to this. Like, number one, I look at Clay Holmes. And I kind of feel bad for the guy. This season alone with the Mets, he has pitched in as many innings. Ready for this? I looked it up. This season alone, he has pitched in as many innings as he has in his first season, his second season, his third season, and his fourth season combined. Combined. This is his eighth season. And I don't even want to say this out loud. I don't. But I have this helpless, this maybe irrational sense of like doom, this feeling of doom. Like, okay, you know, they've been riding him really hard. Is tonight the night his arm gives out, or will it be the next time? Followed by, I wish they would just put him in the bullpen already. Followed by, well, they can't because they need him in that rotation at this moment in time. Followed by, well, if they brought up these minor league pitchers sooner, they might not need him in the rotation. They could have put him to the bullpen at least weeks ago. And I then continue to ask, how deadly would this Mets bullpen look with the addition of Clay Holmes as like a seventh or eighth inning setup guy? And then at the same time, how much better would this rotation look with that move? And my next point is this. Why is Brandon Sproat being tested out as a relief pitcher? Why is he pitching out of the bullpen all of a sudden? Like, I don't want to hear about it. Like this whole notion of like, well, that's how he can help the Mets this fall. I don't want to hear that because I don't agree with that at all. It's giving shades of Jobber Chamberlain. In Sproat's first outing as a reliever, he gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, and I'm telling you right now, abort the experiment. Abort the experiment right now. David Stearns has to admit he was wrong, and he cannot ruin this guy in the process, a la Jobber Chamberlain. I mean, we talked about how Brandon Sproat's ERA in the month of July was 0.67. And in Sproat's previous 9 starts at AAA, like including like his last start and working 8 more back from there, he pitched to a 2.05 ERA and a 0.85 whip. And I'll ask it again like I asked it in mid or early July. What more does this guy, Brandon Sproat, have to do to get, you know, the call? So unless the Mets starters, you know, not named David Peterson, and I guess we could put Nolan McLean in that category as well, unless these Mets starters decide to flip the switch and go into overdrive mode, I mean, I think the World Series aspirations of this team is as good as over. Like, where do the Mets rank in terms of innings, you know, eaten up by starting pitching? 26th in the league. Meaning, think about this. Teams 27, 28, 29, and 30, they have pitched fewer innings than the Mets. Like, in other words, Mets starting pitchers have pitched in the fifth fewest cumulative innings of all the teams in the league. That's not where you want to be, because that's a problem. Expecting your bullpen to bail you out for five innings, literally every single day, not named a Peterson day or a McLean day. And McLean's only pitched three so far, and I think the first outing was just five innings. But overuse and overexposure are never good words to use in conjunction with your bullpen. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what is happening, because opposing hitters are hitting they're hitting 270. Rounds up to 300, but they're hitting about, it's like 268, 270, 272, something like that, against Mets relief pitching, which is among the highest in the league. Overuse and overexposure. And this is a dangerous combination, as the Mets have their sights set on a deep run in the fall. I mean, the last outing from Clay Holmes, five innings. Manaea, 4.5. Not to be outdone, though, by Kodai Senga and his four innings pitched. Their bullpen cannot continue to shoulder the load. And, you know, Mets starters to pitch into the eighth inning of a game this entire season. I mean, it's August 3rd. It's Labor Day weekend. It's happened just nine times. I'm sorry, just six times. David Peterson, 5. Nolan McLean, 1. That's it. That is the list of Mets starting pitchers to make it to the eighth. That's it. Outside of McLean and Peterson, not one guy has made it to the eighth inning. Are you kidding me? That can't continue to happen. And the Mets, at one point, they went 62 games without a pitcher other than Peterson, going even six innings. I mean, that is terrible. So until the Mets can figure out the answer to that starting pitching / relief pitching equation, their World Series hopes, I don't want to say it, but they're toast. You need to bring some new juice to this team. Where is Sproat? And not to rub this in, but do you know who averages six innings pitched per start this season? Jose Quintana. You know who else? Luis Severino. And he went seven like three starts ago. And you know who said no thanks to those guys? But of course, the smartest man in the room, boy genius David Stearns. Now, a question for you. If you were manager of the Mets and the postseason started, bam, today, who would be your game one, two, and three pitchers? Now, call me crazy, but for me, I'm starting McLean in game one, who, oh, by the way, has the best spin rate on his curveball, or a curveball, across the entire league. And he just got here. So game one, I'm going McLean. Game two, I'm going probably Manaea for three innings, then Holmes for three at this moment in time. Because if they mess it up and the relievers have to come in earlier than planned, well, then game three's Peterson can pick up the slack and minimize the need for that relief pitching, you know, cohort in game three. And you might be like, well, why wouldn't you just start Peterson in game one and McLean in three? Well, I don't want to put the pressure on Nolan McLean, because David Stearns just basically brought him up. I don't want to put that added pressure on him to pitch game three. Give him game one. At least there's time to come back from that. Game three, it could be lights out in game three. You want him to think about that all winter? I know I wouldn't want to if I'm the manager of the Mets. And that, it's not a time for egos. Like, I'm looking at this, if I'm the manager of the Mets, and I'm going to say to myself, okay, who is going to give me the most number of innings so that I don't overuse and overexpose my bullpen each and every series? So I'm going McLean, Manaea / Holmes, and then Peterson. And we'll have to wait and see how Tong develops over this next month. But again, these moves should have happened at, I'll say weeks, but I really mean months ago. Trade deadline-ish, July-ish. Because I want to think to myself that the Mets bullpen situation would be in a much better start. And now you've got Tylor Megill. He's going to make one more rehab start. But where does he go? There's no room in this rotation now. So this is just an utter mess. And it's got to align itself and figure itself out over the next, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. You know, 27 games to be precise. And I don't know how it's going to shake out. But you need to put the best out there. And ruining Sproat, I can't get behind that at all. Making him from a starter to a reliever and then what, back to a starter? I cannot get behind that. 888-808-1019. In the order you called, we'll go to our leadoff caller of the night, who is Kevin in Camden. Hey, Kevin.
What's up, Coach? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to lead off with the Mets because I want to talk about the Giants at the end, but first with the Mets. I'm not surprised that these guys pitched well because we talked about this. McLean should have been up from the beginning, and we both have been on this, should have been up from the beginning. Tong, I told you, I think it was about a month ago, I told you he was the name to look out for, and you're like, yeah, he's in the lab. I said, Coach, he's going to be up. Not from what I saw, I said, this kid's going to be up. And you were like, yeah, we'll see, but he's been up. But, you know, hopefully he can develop more, but I like this first start, but I'm worried still. I got to be honest. I'm still worried about
this. Yes, I am too. I mean, that is a major, I mean, the bottom of the lineup has been coming through, but the pitching is still a major concern. It's almost like you've got too many puzzle pieces and you're trying to put them all together and to make one nice, neat pitcher, and it's not going to come out that way.
No. And there's one point that I don't think you brought this up yet, but it's something that I read a couple days ago. Alvarez broke his pinky finger in a rehab game.
Yeah.
So now he's going to be out even longer. So, like, and no offense to Hayden Sanger. Great story. Happy for the kid. But with playoff roster, if that's what you're going to go with, again, not worrying me. But
oh, no, Kevin. Oh, no, we're losing you. Oh, no, come back to us.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, I'm still here. Sorry, am I on still?
You're good, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, but I'm still worried about the without pitching and without – and again, should not – I was going to say this too. Sproat should not be in the bullpen.
No.
And this is the reason why you didn't make – in the trade deadline to get started pitching because you have faith in these young kids. I can't.
Gosh,
I don't know,
Kevin,
what they're doing.
I know it's a tough connection here, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying because we talked. You call every show. I know where you're going with this. Basically, that you needed to figure out what Tong, Sproat, McLean could have done for you at or near the trade deadline. You didn't do that. And now you've got a surplus of starting pitching, and then you're just going to, on the fly, figure out, well, who's going to be relegated to the pitch out of the bullpen? I mean, that's not how this is supposed to work. And look, I know the Mets have 27 games left to figure it out, but as Yoki used to say, it's getting late early. How many starts does Tong have left this season? Is that going to be enough to say, okay, well, you have earned a postseason start, and then you're going to move him, you're going to mess him up and move him to the bullpen? I mean, this equation is not adding up to me.